We are a divided nation, and that divide will become very clear on Sunday when we take an hour of daylight from the early morning hours and tack it on at the end of the afternoon. This hour, larks versus owls. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Some people love the morning hours, getting up early, getting stuff done, maybe enjoying the outdoors. Some people have a really hard time getting out of bed in the morning but find themselves energized when the sun goes down. Today, we'll explore the science behind these differences, and I'll talk with people on each end of the spectrum. We also want to hear from you. Are you a lark or an owl? How has it affected your life? Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. On Sunday morning at 2 a.m., daylight saving time goes into effect. We spring forward. Some people love having the extra light in the afternoon hours. Some people hate losing the light in the morning. Most people hate getting up for work or school an hour earlier. This is an annual occasion that really throws the divide between early birds and night owls into stark relief. This hour, we'll explore the science behind these natural differences between people, and I'll talk to individuals on each end of the spectrum. We also want to hear from you. Are you a lark or an owl? Are you a lark married to an owl? Does your job interfere with your natural body clock? We'd love to hear your stories. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And first today, many of us wake up each weekday morning to the voice of Iowa Public Radio's Morning Edition host, Clay Masters. And that means Clay has to get up even earlier. He is with me now. Hello, Clay.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
You bet.
Would you describe yourself as a morning person?
Not necessarily. I'm an adaptable person. When I started hosting Morning Edition, I knew the hours that I was signing up for, and it just took some conditioning.
So if you were left to your own devices, what end of the day do you gravitate toward?
Well, before I was hosting Morning Edition, I would stay up until about 11 o'clock or midnight, and it's been hard for me to go to bed earlier, but I do try to be in bed by 9 or 10. I do have a family that I like to see, so that keeps me up a little later.
And when do you get up in the morning?
I've kind of got it down to a science. Like, I get up right at 4 o'clock, and I can get ready in about 15 to 20 minutes, and it takes me about 10 minutes to get to work because there's nobody out. You know, there are a few joggers or bikers and a few cars on the road, but I've kind of got it down to a science as to, you know, I know in what part of Des Moines I am in what time that means I will arrive at the station. Should I not hit lights? Should I hit lights? You start to really think very
right.
Mechanically.
And so what I'm hearing here is that you get up at the last possible moment. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we'll say that. But if management is listening, no, I'm very well prepared.
Now, I know you've got kids, and everybody who has small kids, we all deal with sleep deprivation. But do you feel, since you've started hosting Morning Edition, which has been regularly now over a year, although you did some stints before that, do you feel more sleep deprived now than you did before?
It's actually been 2 years. So it was
years, yeah.
Beginning of 2014. Flies. Time flies when you're listening to me in the morning. I feel like I have become conditioned to it. So it's something that I'm very meticulous with throughout my day and how I manage my schedule. It just takes being very prepared for what you have in store. So, you know, not only am I a Morning Edition host, I'm also a reporter and one of our main political reporters here at Iowa Public Radio. So during the caucus campaign, a lot of those events happened during the evening hours. So I would find myself going home, sleeping for a while, you know, getting the kids home from school, and, you know, then going out for an evening thing. There'd be stuff on the weekends. So, I mean, it's really just about knowing when you need to go to bed, when you need to get up, and how to plan your day out.
So when you go through a period, like with the caucuses, I know that was just insane for you, and you had to be low on sleep. Do you end up making up for that? Do you find yourself taking big naps or sleeping in on the weekends?
No, not really. Sleeping in for me on the weekends is 6 o'clock, and my kids get me up, and they make sure that I'm awake by 6. If I do take a nap, I have found that very short naps keep me more alert instead of really long naps. Oftentimes, if I take a really long nap, I wake up and I feel more tired than I did before, and then it's hard for me to go to bed in the evening. So I will take a power nap.
When you go on vacation, which is not very often, but do you find yourself immediately gravitating back towards staying up later?
Not really. I still find myself sticking to that normal schedule.
Maybe you are a morning person now. Maybe.
I've always wanted to be a morning person, and my job has allowed me to be, I guess. We'll look at it that way.
All right. Clay, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thanks, Charity.
Clay Masters, our Iowa Public Radio Morning Edition host. We're talking about larks and owls this hour, morning people versus night people. And we're going to talk with people on both ends of the spectrum. We'd also love to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And Dr. Melissa Coker is here with me now. She works with CIC Associates PC and is medical director for the Mercy Sleep Center and the Grinnell Sleep Center and Iowa Specialty Hospitals. Hello, Dr. Coker.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Now, I've been talking about how some of us are morning people and some of us are night owls. This is a natural tendency that people tend to have, right?
Correct. Yep.
Do we know why some people are one way and some people are another?
Well, there's a very heavy genetic component to people who are, we call them, as you said, the larks and the night owls. And there's an eveningness and a morningness, couple of genes. Actually, we call it the clock gene and the PER gene, P-E-R gene. And that's typically genetic and predisposes you to being one of those two types of people.
And do we know how this shakes out? Is it 50-50?
You know, I don't think we have an actual percentage, but in women, they tend to be more of the morningness people, and men tend to be more of the eveningness, but it goes both ways as well. But I don't think there's an actual recent percentage that's been researched.
Now, I think that in our culture, we make it pretty hard for night owls because most people have jobs that start in the morning. Kids have to go to school in the morning. Do you feel like we have a cultural bias toward morning people?
We sure do. I think depending on which type of work you do and your societal, social, personal obligations, I think there's a huge bias. And most people, I think, in the general American public don't really have a choice as to what types of hours they work. And so just as Clay said, you really have to adapt to your schedule and condition your body to be that person you need to be for your job.
We talk about this a lot in our office because we're pretty evenly divided between morning people and night people in the office. And the night owls find the morning people to be pretty irritating because I'll include myself in that group. We're really chipper. We're up. We're ready to go. While they're maybe a little bit groggy and still trying to get up to speed. Is there a productivity difference between people who are naturally geared one way or the other?
I feel so. I mean, from my own personal experience, I can tell you I'm definitely a night owl. And I'm fortunate enough where my workday doesn't start too early in the morning. My workday usually starts, I get up at about 7 a.m. or so. But I can just tell you from my own personal experience that typically people who are night owls, if they have to get up early, they may have a higher, what we call sleep inertia, which means that it takes you a little bit longer to keep going and get going. And I think most people who have any job that requires a high productivity, they try to balance their day based on their preference of eveningness or morningness. And so I can tell you I'm much better off if I do the majority of my heavy duty work after 9 o'clock a.m. instead of before then. Just because you are more productive, that's your body's natural rhythm, that's your body's natural preference. And so I can get more done in the evening in 3 hours than I can the whole morning because of that trait.
If you are doing a job or living a life that really doesn't work with your body clock, are there costs that you bear as far as your health goes?
Yes. So in up to 30% of so-called shift workers, that can be somebody who works overnight shifts. It can be somebody who works early morning shifts. It can be somebody who has rotating shifts, extended shifts, 12 hours or more. You can develop a disorder called shift work disorder. And that disorder involves insomnia or difficulty sleeping when you're trying to sleep. And it can also cause sleepiness during the time period where you need to stay awake. So that is associated with a higher error rate when you're working, decreased focus and inattention. It can also cause more serious health problems like heart disease, high blood pressure, depression, even things like peptic ulcer disease, and even hormonal cancers like breast cancer.
Now, on a much more mild scale, let's say you're just naturally a night owl, and you have to get to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have a hard time getting to sleep, and so you're maybe going to be a little bit short on sleep every night. So it's not as dramatic as working overnights or something like that, but you're missing a little bit of a full night's sleep every night. How does that affect you?
So that affects you because I think initially, when you start that type of work schedule, it's going to cut off some of your deepest stages of sleep, like your rapid eye movement or REM sleep. And so you may feel more unrefreshed, but I think as time goes by, as long as your schedule is consistent, what eventually takes over is what we call your physical sleep drive or your drive to sleep. And eventually, you know, with time and with being more and more tired, you can usually fall asleep a little bit earlier than what you're used to, whether that be 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. And so I think for most people, assuming they don't have any, you know, social obligations and they have that sleep opportunity, many people can adjust to that and they just stop watching TV or stop doing late night things and try to get to bed a little bit earlier.
If you are deprived of sleep over a regular period, does there come a point where you have to pay the piper, where you have to make up on that sleep?
Typically. And what's dangerous about sleep deprivation, with time, the actual individual who has sleep deprivation becomes less and less aware of how sleepy they actually are. And so there's a higher risk of risk-taking behavior, whether that means speeding home or whether that means, you know, driving more erratically than what you're used to, or just taking more personal risks as well. And so that can be a problem with people who have chronic sleep deprivation because they are chronically sleepy. They're more prone to work-related errors, motor vehicle accidents.
And we're going to have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking to Dr. Melissa Coker. She is medical director for the Mercy Sleep Center, the Grinnell Sleep Center, and the Iowa Specialty Hospitals. We'll continue in a moment. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the differences between larks and owls. Some of us are just naturally morning people. Some of us are naturally night owls. Of course, we're approaching daylight saving time, which is a time that a lot of people have very strong feelings about. A lot of morning people don't like the fact that we lose an hour of light in the morning. A lot of other people love getting that extra light in the afternoon hours. With me is Dr. Melissa Coker. She works with CIC Associates PC and is medical director for the Mercy Sleep Center in Des Moines, the Grinnell Sleep Center, and Iowa Specialty Hospitals. You are welcome to join our conversation as well at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Are you a lark? Are you an owl? Are you an owl married to a lark? Has that created any difficulties in your household? Have you had to take on a job that forces you to adopt a different body clock? Let us know your story, 866-780-9100. And Michael is on the line in Harper. Hi, Michael.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Good. And you're a morning person?
I am a lark. Yeah, I definitely am. My mother said at 3 years old, I wouldn't sleep. I'd be crowing like a rooster at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I still feel like crowing like a rooster at 4 o'clock in the morning. I love morning. I get up at 3:30 to 4 o'clock or sometimes earlier. I go to bed at 7, read for an hour, and go to sleep. And I don't sleep well. I sleep 2 hours at a time. But it's always, I'm always happy with it. And I take about a 15, I'm 72 years old now today. Anyway, but I take a 15-minute nap at noon, and I'm happy with that. I'm very comfortable with it. In the morning, I meet with other larks, and we have coffee, and I love the life I live. I love the life I've lived. I hope all owls are the same way.
So what has getting up so early allowed you to do that you enjoy so much?
Well, I think the perspective of being alone. I mean, I can go out and drive and watch the deer and the turkeys and the pheasants go in and get my paper read before anybody else has done anything. I do my crossword puzzles. I do my bridge problems. I do all that stuff. I have it all done before anybody else gets up. I've got my agenda of what I want to talk about for the day if anybody wants to discuss something.
So as you've gotten older, have you gotten up even earlier with each passing year?
Oh, I have. I've gotten up at 1 o'clock. In fact, I had a hardware store for a period of time, and I'd always be there 6 in the morning. Well, I thought, I don't need much sleep. Why don't I get a night job? And so I did. I got a job at the University of Iowa for a year, and I worked from 4:30 till 1:30, and I'd come home, and I'd sleep for 4 hours and be in my store, and I'd open the store.
Wow.
So it worked for a year, but then I realized I do need more sleep than that as I get older. I do need a little more sleep than that.
Oh, interesting.
It correlates to your age. I think you need a little more sleep as age goes by.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
One other thing.
Oh, sure.
If I don't get something done in the morning, something positive, the day isn't going to go well. I need to get the real things I need to do done early. The day works out.
All right. Michael, thanks a lot for your call. And I want to get your reaction to that, Dr. Coker. It sounds like over the years, Michael has gotten up even earlier and earlier. Is this, if you are a morning person, does that trait tend to be accentuated over time?
I think it depends on the individual. As we age, the total sleep time that a person requires actually doesn't change too much. If anything, it drops, the total sleep time required drops by about 20 to 30 minutes, and that's about it. But I think as we age, you have different processes in your bodies, different medical conditions that you may develop, different medications you're taking, different environmental disturbances and concerns, and that can fragment your sleep, and it can cause you to sleep less, even though your body needs about the same amount of sleep as it did when you were younger.
Do you see people, I know that some people try to train themselves to be morning people, but do you see people who just kind of go through a shift in their lives naturally? Or if you're a morning person, you're always a morning person. If you're a night person, you're always a night person.
I don't think that being a night or morning person is absolute, and I really think it depends on the person and what they're getting up for and what they can what they're trying to accomplish with their job and things like that. But in general, I think if you have to be up in the morning and you're a night owl, then you will do whatever you have to do to accommodate that, because not many people have a choice on that. So just like Clay said, there is a tendency to shift if you have to, because at that point it's kind of mind over matter.
Let's take another phone call. Laurel is on the line in Waterloo. Hello, Laurel.
Hello.
Hi, what's your story?
Okay, so my husband and I just had a pair of twins in November, and we find that the separation between me being a lark and him being an owl works out splendidly.
Then congratulations. So that's really helping both of you get the sleep when you need it, I hope.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. He will stay up with them through the midnight feeding, and I will wake up by 4 a.m. bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to take on the day.
Now, before you had twins, did the fact that you were a lark and he is an owl, did that ever create problems?
Oh, absolutely. From a relationship standpoint, we'd try to meet in the middle. I would try to get him to go to bed early with me so that we could have that, time together. And then he would try to get me to stay up, even though I would be physically and mentally exhausted by about 9 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the evening. It has its pitfalls, and as the babies grow, they're going to have pitfalls and then they get sick and things like that.
Right.
But ultimately, right now, it is a success story.
You're the perfect partners at the moment. Laurel, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk to people who are on each ends of the spectrum this hour. And I want to bring somebody else into the conversation now. David Stoltz is an Uber driver in Des Moines, and he's been working nights. Hello, David.
Hello. Good morning, Charity.
Well, thank you so much for being here. How long have you been driving for Uber?
Oh, since December of 2014, so a very long time.
All right. And you have a day job too, right?
Yes, I am. I work construction during the day. So
with driving at night, what's your sleep schedule like?
Very caffeine-induced sleep schedule. I generally get up like 6 o'clock in the morning, and then as soon as I get off my day job, I get a little cleaned up and then go out and drive Uber until like 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's a lot of sleeping in on the weekends.
So you do make up for that sleep deprivation?
Oh, yes. I miss half. I don't even see the morning sometimes. I'm up at noon, 1 o'clock.
Do you consider yourself to be a night owl?
Yeah, pretty much since I was a teenager. I'd stay up reading books late at night, and that schedule kind of transformed into the college schedule, and then eventually now I end up working an Uber job. I'll tell you what, I don't miss the morning either.
Really?
No. And you know what? I see after 10 o'clock, the city gets different. It changes a little bit, and people are just more fun, I think. You meet a lot of interesting people during Uber.
So you are a fan of being out and about during the nights then?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I would have never met one of your producers, Lindsay Moon, if I hadn't been out late at night giving people rides.
Have you felt like this change in your schedule and working these nights in addition to your day job, do you feel like that has affected your health?
It's definitely affected my sleep schedule, and as she's been saying, like stuff with like being groggy and tired and sleep inertia, the sleep doctor's been talking about. Yeah, I definitely get that stuff when I work like a 22-hour day. I feel that a lot.
Is that scary for you ever as somebody who's driving?
Well, I will say this: caffeine is a godsend. I don't know. I've always been a night owl. I prefer it that way. And you know what? I've gotten to meet really interesting people by being a night owl. Like one time during the state fair, when the state fair was on and all the people were making pilgrimages, the candidates were making pilgrimages to their mandatory corn dog. you remember Ellen Page confronted Ted Cruz about gay rights?
Yep.
I actually met the vice crew that was there with her to do that film stuff. And they're incredibly intelligent people. And if I hadn't been out late at night to give him a ride home, I never would have met him.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
David Stoltz is an Uber driver in Des Moines, so he has embraced the night owl side of himself. And earlier we were talking about kids, Dr. Coker, and we were talking about Laurel's twins. And that is a period in people's lives when they have small children that really affects sleep for a lot of people. Is that one of the most significant sleep issues that you see?
Absolutely. And it affects many people. And regardless if you're a morning, you know, lark or if you're a night owl, reality is reality, and you have to adapt quickly to the needs of your new child and of other children. And so I see that all the time, independent of any sleep disorders.
We have a number of people weighing in on this conversation. This is a tweet from Seth. He says, I forced myself to become a morning person by signing up for a 6 a.m. Ferrell's class. Best decision ever. So I know that a lot of people, we talked about our cultural bias toward morning people. A lot of people want to become morning people. Can you force yourself to do it?
I think in some cases you can. And when you can, the question is, how long can you do that? And I think if you have a long-term job that requires that, or you have children that get up early, I think, yes, you have no other choice, and people do it. For the listener who is getting up early for the gym, I think that's absolutely fantastic. I think it's much harder to do that optionally and electively than getting up for work, and I really commend that person for all of their efforts, because that's not an easy thing to do. But I think in that case, for getting up, exercising, releasing endorphins, releasing adrenaline, that also improves your alertness, your wakefulness, and it sets your day off on a good note.
Do you have some suggestions for people? You're naturally a night owl, right?
Yes.
Right. And so have you tried any of these techniques to become more of a morning person?
I have. And, you know, I have to become a morning person when I have to. And I don't think I drink as much coffee as the Uber driver, but I have my occasional cup or two of coffee, and that's basically all I need to make myself be a morning person at that time. But for exercise, elective things, no. I've found out that I'm much more productive, more effective if I save that for the afternoon.
Well, and it was interesting to talk to Dave about how he's really embraced being a night owl. I get the impression a lot of people fight it for a lot of years. It sounds like he's found a lot of happiness just saying, hey, this is when I sleep.
And I think that's great. And you will see that. You will see, you know, people who work 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. for 30 years, and they love it, and they wouldn't have it any other way. And then you have other people who can't do it, and they opt out immediately because it just takes a significant toll on their personal life and maybe even their health. And so I find it very, very interesting, especially the callers who have called in and how they've made everything work and how they've taken advantage of that and done something with it. I think that's fantastic.
We have an email from T. Murphy, let's just get rid of daylight savings time. I have no use for it, do you? So let's talk about daylight saving time, because I know that it really is frustrating for a lot of people to make that 1 hour change. It may sound insignificant, but it can be hard. How does that affect us?
So for most, it makes it very difficult, especially if you're an evening person. It makes it very difficult to get up in the morning. For people who are morningness people, it may not affect them as much. I think the tips to try to get through it would be keeping your sleep schedule as consistent as you possibly can, taking care of yourself, hydrating, avoiding alcohol, especially the Saturday before this happens, trying to avoid caffeine so that you'll be able to fall asleep easier on Saturday night. And for some people, they actually, a few days before the daylight savings time, they have to change their bedtime by about 15 minutes. And if you do that a few days or so before daylight savings time, that will get you through it. But most people, after the daylight savings time occurs, most people will adapt to it within a few days to a maximum of 10 days.
Now, I find it a lot harder to adapt to daylight saving time than it is for me to adapt to another time zone. If I travel to another time zone, that seems to happen pretty quickly. When I try to just change my clock, that doesn't work as well. Why is that?
Well, it really depends on where you're traveling. You risk, especially when you're traveling through multiple time zones and you're traveling eastward, you risk developing jet lag syndrome. And so if you're traveling westward, it may actually be easier for you to sleep versus the eastward. But I think when you're used to the time that you're used to your schedule, you're used to the light exposure that you get, when you're staying in one location, I think it's harder to adjust to that versus traveling and having a difference in light exposure, having a difference in your schedule, in your activities. I think that especially when you're going on vacation, it's just much easier to adapt to that. Unless you're traveling multiple time zones and eastward, then you can run into some problems.
But you mentioned light exposure. So maybe that's the key there, because if you travel to another time zone, then the light changes too.
Correct. And especially for treatment of jet lag disorder, when you're traveling eastward, one of the best things you can do, especially if it's for an elective vacation, is control your light exposure and prevent yourself from being exposed to bright light before 12 p.m. and starting your day after 12 p.m. for the first couple days, and that will allow you to adjust easily.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about the differences between larks and owls this hour. You are welcome to join our conversation, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Dr. Melissa Coker. She works with CIC Associates PC and is medical director for the Mercy Sleep Center in Des Moines and the Grinnell Sleep Center in Iowa Specialty Hospitals. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the differences between larks and owls, natural morning people and natural night people. With me is Dr. Melissa Coker. She works with CIC Associates PC and is medical director for the Mercy Sleep Center in Des Moines, the Grinnell Sleep Center in Iowa Specialty Hospitals. You are welcome to join our conversation as well at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And let's go to the phones now. We have Fritz on the line in Platteville, Wisconsin. Hi, Fritz.
Hi, Shirley. I like your program.
Oh, thanks. And you're a morning person?
Yes, I'm a lark, and I am of German descent. And I suspect that all Germans and people of German descent are all larks. I have never met a German owl. And as a matter of fact, in the German language, we have several proverbs, I guess you'd call them. I won't recite them in German, but the English is, morning hours have gold in their mouth. And another one is, if you lose an hour in the morning, you'll be looking for it all day. And I happen to be married to an owl, incidentally, and that does not contribute to harmony oftentimes. But anyway, I don't know. Your guest may be onto something. There might be something in our genes.
Interesting.
As I say, I've never met a German a German owl.
All right. Well, Fritz, thank you for putting that theory forward. And I'm sure that we'll probably hear from a German night owl before the hour is over. Do you think there could be something to that, Dr. Coker?
You know, I really can't say that I've met many Germans to begin with, so I can't really comment on that. But there have to be some German night owls out there. There has to be.
All right. And we're going to talk to another lark here for just a few minutes. Greg Bull is with us on the line, and he is an enthusiastic water skier. He owns a home on Lake Panorama and loves to get out there in the early morning hours. Hello, Greg.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for talking with us today. And how long have you been doing this, water skiing in the early morning?
Oh, my goodness. I probably started doing this when I was in high school, which was quite a few years ago. So I've been doing it quite a long time.
And were you always an early morning person, or was it the allure of the skiing that got you out there?
Well, I think I've always been an early morning person. I guess the way I look at it is it's my way of getting a daily advantage in some form or another. But as it relates to water skiing, it's a little different. I still get a daily advantage, but it's more from the context of the skiing. Early in the morning, typically you don't have a lot of boats and you don't have a lot of people. And also typically in the morning, early, the sun has not really stirred the air and the wind is light. And when you're water skiing, you would like to have few people and glass-like conditions. And as a result of that, the lure of having that sort of condition is enough to get me up pretty early in the morning and get out there right away.
What time are we talking about?
Well, we like to get out there and be on the water about a quarter till 7. If we can get out there at 6:30, that's even better. But sometimes it's a little hard because you always have to have a few extra people with you to throw the rope and do
right. It's not something you can do all by yourself.
It is difficult to do it by yourself because you do need somebody to drive that boat and control the rope. So it would be almost impossible, I think, without some help.
So do you have a regular crew of morning skiing enthusiasts that goes out with you?
Well, there is a crew. I'm not sure how always enthusiastic they are about it. My wife gets up and goes with me, and she does enjoy it. And I try and get my 22-year-old son, and he is not quite as enthusiastic. But I must say, he is a night owl. But because he does like to ski like his dad, he will get up, regardless of how late he may have been up the night before, again, because of that allure of the great conditions that you can get at that time of the day.
So how does it affect your day, do you feel, to get up early and do something like skiing? Obviously, that's not something you can do year-round, but to get out there.
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it always feels to me like I have a bit of an advantage if I can get out, regardless if it's skiing or something else, and get the day started a little earlier than maybe most other people might be. And I feel like I'm more productive versus staying in bed or not getting up. And I think that aspect alone is part of the reason that I've done it for my entire life. We were raised this way, I think, is also a contributing factor. But all of us, all of my family, have continued to be early morning people. And I think it's because we are driven to get up and get things moving.
All right. Well, Greg, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Greg Bull is a water skier. He owns a home on Lake Panorama and likes to get out there in the early morning hours. And Dr. Coker, he said something about this is the way we were raised. Now, I'm curious about that because I'm a morning person. I've always been a morning person. My kids tend to be morning people. I seem to observe it as much more of a natural tendency than a parenting style. What do you think?
Well, it's very interesting that both of you say that because typically your preference for morning or evening is genetic. And so if your parents are the same way, I think from a young age you're raised that way because the whole family may be that way. And so I think you just continue that as an adult, and then when you have children, you raise the children the same way, and it becomes more of a behavioral thing, and I think that people become less aware that it is actually genetic. So it makes sense that somebody could be raised that way because both parents, if present, are probably the same way.
Here's a note from Valerie. She says, I'm of German descent and an owl. I learned to say I work second shift to avoid the scolding about sleeping until 8 a.m. So she learned to say she works second shift. I'm not sure whether she actually does or not. But, you know, a lot of us, as we mentioned earlier, we can't pick our work schedule usually. So can you also train yourself to be a night owl if you're naturally a morning person?
You can, and it's very interesting because they've done research on the difference, especially in people who have shift work disorder who work night shift, and those who can adapt and those who can't. And so you have people who automatically cannot adapt. Their sleep rhythm or circadian rhythm does not adapt to the night shift work. You have some people who completely adapt and shift their body's natural melatonin production to a later time to accommodate that. And then you have people who are in the middle. So usually the people who can adjust, they know instantly they're out within a month and they can never do the night shift work again. It's the people who can adapt completely or partially who usually do well.
I am absolutely one of those people who can't adapt. I used to work overnights, and I get up early no matter what. So can stay up late and still get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it hurts.
I bet.
Let's get back to the phones. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. We've talked a little bit about daylight saving time this hour, and Ted is on the line from Newton. Hi, Ted.
Good morning.
And do you remember when daylight saving time was just a new idea?
Well, that kind of bespeaks my age, but I'll just tell you real quickly. I had a talk show on the radio, and I was driving down the road, and they were just taking call-ins, and the lady called in and said very clearly, "I dislike daylight saving time." The host said, "Why?" And she said, "Because that extra hour of daylight makes my drapes fade more."
Oh, Ted, thanks a lot for sharing that. Of course, we don't get an extra hour, although some people feel like we do get an extra hour. Mark is on the line next from Ely. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
I saw a program recently about sleep, and a researcher was describing that it's natural for humans to have a rhythm where there's a first sleep and then maybe an hour of activeness and then a second sleep. And I just wondered if that's correct or not.
Dr. Coker?
So is that just in a conventional day shift worker? Or
yes. I mean, they were talking generally that humans, it's just natural that you go to sleep whatever time you normally do when it starts to get to be late evening. But then it's natural to wake up after a few hours, have a period of wakefulness, and then a second sleep.
Well, and Mark, I think I read something about this as well, and it was based on how, of course, during the winter months, the nights are longer, and when we didn't have electric lights, we would just spend more hours in bed. So we'd go to bed, be wakeful for a while, and then sleep more. Is that what you're talking about?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
is that correct?
I think you may be referring to the body's natural circadian rhythm, we call it, where, you know, you have a very high sleep drive during the nighttime when you're sleeping, especially between, if you're not a morning person, 4 to 6 a.m., and then you wake up, you have a little sleep inertia. That's usually less than an hour. You get kind of a second wind, and then right around lunchtime or so, you get a dip again where you're a little more tired, and then you get another wind until the late night when you're ready to go to bed. That's a natural thing, and that's why some people can feel more tired after lunch. It's not just because of the food. It's your actual normal physiology.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for your call. And we've been talking about some of the mixed marriages where larks are married to owls. And, of course, that can create some frustrations in a family. A lot of parents get frustrated when their kids are teenagers because they tend to be night owls. And that's a natural part of being a teenager, right?
That's correct. Adolescents, physiologically, it's normal for them to produce their body's natural sleep hormone, melatonin, later than a typical adult. And so when your melatonin is produced later, it makes it harder to fall asleep. So these adolescents want to go to bed later and they want to sleep in later. It doesn't mean that they're less motivated. That's just their normal physiology, which can be a problem when you have school activities or school start times that are very early in the morning.
We have this email from Joel in Des Moines. He said, "Musicians are notorious night owls. However, 2 to 3 times in the summer, we play the downtown Des Moines Farmers Market, which requires us to be there and set up at 6:45 a.m. When we're finished, I have the best feeling of having done an entire day's work by noon." So I guess it can be really enjoyable to visit the life of a lark every once in a while.
Oh, completely.
And do you see people gravitating toward different careers because of the lifestyle? I mean, musicians do tend to be night owls. That's when people perform. Do you think that that's a draw for people if that's naturally their body clock?
I do. I think especially nowadays, you know, we have more information regarding different careers and what it takes and what the expectations are. And I do think people strongly consider that when choosing a career.
If people are trying to make that adjustment to getting up earlier in the morning, which our culture forces so many people to do, do you have some suggestions for ways to fall asleep earlier? Because I know that can be so frustrating for people. They can get in bed, but that doesn't mean they'll sleep.
Yeah, so the easiest thing to do when you're first starting to adjust, let's say you're a night owl and you're trying to become a lark, the easiest thing to do is to advance your bedtime or go to bed even 15 minutes, 30 minutes earlier. Just start very, very small, nothing too extreme, and allow your body to gradually adjust to that. It may be difficult for a week or so, but again, when you're getting up early in the morning, you have more light exposure, that's enforcing your next night of sleep as far as your circadian rhythm. So that will help. And then with time, that physical sleep drive is just going to increase and increase and increase until you can sleep that period of time. And when you can sleep that period of time, then it's time to add 15 more minutes onto your time in bed. So go to bed 15 minutes earlier, do that for a week, and slowly build it backwards, instead of trying to go to bed 2 hours earlier than what you're used to.
All right, let's go back to the phones. One final call. Patty is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Patty.
Your screener thought this was funny, and I'm pleased my discomfort amuses her. And maybe I should call back when you're having an animal show. But when I got my dog 8 years ago, I was a night owl. And now I have an early morning day job, and he won't get up in the morning at all. And late at night when I'm trying to go to bed at 9, he's bouncing around. He wants to go out. And I don't know if this is so.
So you've got a dog that's a night owl. And you know, Patty, I've had many dogs over the years, and I've had two dogs that are just not morning dogs. And you think every dog should be a morning dog, right?
What can I do?
So we may not have a suggestion for what you can do, because Dr. Coker, you probably don't have much expertise in changing a dog's sleeping schedule.
Well, I mean, dogs, they're mammals. They have the same physiology that we have, except they're much more trainable. So I think you have to add positive reinforcement, positive rewards, and you have to adjust the feeding schedule, the drinking schedule, based on your specific needs.
All right. So maybe a long, tiring walk before bed and treats in the morning, huh?
Correct. Yep.
So we've talked about this cultural emphasis on being morning people. Do you think we need to have a shift in our culture to just accept people for being night owls?
Yes, because there's room for everybody. You know, this world goes on and functions 24/7. And there's a need for everybody. And so I think it's most important to recognize which side you're on and build on that as much as you can, given your limitations with your job and things like that. But no, there should be no judging. Some people are morning people. Some people are evening people. There's room for everybody. We need everybody in this world.
And are you a fan of daylight saving time?
It doesn't bother me too much because it occurs on a weekend and I can recover from that. But if it were to occur midweek, then no, I would not be.
We've had people suggest that maybe if it occurred at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, that might be good.
Right,
if we just
that would be okay.
Suddenly take a leap to closing time. Dr. Coker, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Melissa Coker, she works with CIC Associates PC and is medical director for the Mercy Sleep Center in Des Moines, the Grinnell Sleep Center in Iowa Specialty Hospitals. We've been talking about larks and owls this hour. Of course, daylight saving time coming up overnight, Saturday night, Sunday morning. We spring forward an hour. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.